When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Thanks for choosing this free Anfield Index podcast. If you'd prefer to listen to this or any of our other shows without adverts, then now's the time to check out Anfield Index Pro. With AI Pro, you can supercharge your entire listening experience. You'll not only get all of our podcasts without the ads, but you'll have them far faster with our quick publish feature available exclusively for subscribers. AI Pro also puts you in the heart of our sound studio, with an option to listen to many of our shows live and interact with the podcasters in real time as the shows are recording. Upgrading couldn't be easier. AI Pro is available on all popular podcast platforms, and we have our own apps for Apple and Android. Just head on over to AnfieldIndexPro.com and get started today.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you are, whatever you're doing. And welcome to a Media Matters special for Anfield Index. Special indeed, ladies and gents, because we only left him last Monday and we need him again on Wednesday lunchtime. So I'll start with the introductions. It's only been a while, David, but how are we?
Yeah, good. Glad that things are sort of moving on this managerial front. Gives us a story to get into and some clarity as well. I think it's important for fans as well, isn't it, that there's something's actually happening, because you want this to be sorted as soon as possible, really. And as I say, clarity for plans going forward, plans for the summer, you know, everyone getting their head around what post-Jurgen life at Liverpool is going to look like. So, yeah, no, glad that something's moving, definitely.
Yeah, and unless you've been living under a rock, ladies and gentlemen, everyone will have seen by now that Arne Slot, the Feyenoord head coach, Liverpool are locked in talks. And it's almost an easy opening question, but I want to phrase this really carefully, David. What is the latest on this? Because people are jumping to like it's done, all the things, but I know almost news seems to be breaking minute by minute on this. So what is the actual latest on this situation?
Yeah, so definitely not done. I mean, I think the one thing we can absolutely say is that Liverpool have settled on Slot as the number one target. That is 100% clear. I mean, that's not to say it's definitely going to happen, because they're very wary of this negotiation with Feyenoord that's ongoing. They want a certain amount of compensation, sort of maybe slightly more than 10 million euros. And I think Liverpool are offering in and around that. So that negotiation's ongoing. But as I say, Liverpool are wary, because they've got to get that over the line. They've got to sort of fend off interest from others. If other clubs might leap into action now, they see that's happening. You know, yeah. Barcelona and Bayern are two clubs that I know kind of like him. So definitely not a done deal at the moment, and those talks are ongoing. But I think, you know, I guess Liverpool will have had certain assurances from the manager's side, and sort of will feel that Slot is very keen on coming, and that a lot of that has been agreed. So, you know, very advanced in comparison to particularly where we were even a couple of days ago. So, yeah, not far off, but not done yet. But we're edging very, very close to that, and I'd expect a resolution in the next couple of days or so.
Yeah, especially if we're at the stage of talking compensation figures, as you'd say, you'd expect it to happen soon. I mean, I did want to ask you, because if anyone's not seen it, I know you've done a deep dive on a YouTube panel into various managers' real analysis, but I know you didn't really do too much on Arne Slot. So what are your thoughts now you've probably done that and started to look at him as well?
Yeah, so I mean, my starting point really in terms of the managerial search was it was clear even before this sort of season progressed to the point it has now that Alonso was the outstanding candidate in European football, wasn't he? A young manager, real clear style of play, achieving things that have never been achieved before at the club he's at. So, you know, Bayer Leverkusen's first ever Bundesliga title. Yeah. It's ridiculous. He's not suffered a defeat all season. So even though his early days in his managerial career, I thought he was the outstanding candidate. Plus, you threw in all his Liverpool links and everything else, and it was just that looked like an open and shut case in terms of him being the top choice. But obviously, he made that decision then to stay, and then you start looking, okay, what's beyond that? Who else sort of fits that criteria? And the criteria, by the way, is very much sort of someone who's overachieved relative to the budget, plays a clear sort of dominant style of football that can be sort of scaled up to an even bigger club, and has got over the line in sort of winning trophies and competed in Europe as well. I think that those were the sort of things that you would look for in a Liverpool manager. And I thought when you look at that criteria, 100% you could see why Amorim was in the mix. And he was in the mix, by the way. This isn't a case of, oh, well, they've always wanted slot. And, you know, Amorim was 100% one of those names that's been considered. I think maybe we all got a bit carried away about him definitely being the one, but he was 100% considered. But it's interesting, really. I mean, this is something, these are sorts of things. It's quite nice, actually. You can say these on podcasts, but I would never write them because it's important to contextualize them. But someone said to me sort of earlier this week, actually, we were talking about the manager thing. And he's a good source, someone who I trust, who's, you know, got good links in football, and sort of said they got the impression from Amorim's side that he was into a final two. Now, whoever those final two were, and I did get the sense when the West Ham thing broke around Amorim that was almost him trying to put pressure on Liverpool to make that. Yeah. And I did wonder if something was about to sort of move on that, and whether that would be to push them towards Amorim if he was going to be the choice. Now, the fact that Slot has since come out maybe makes me think that, you know, that they were the final two that were being considered. Amorim sort of found out that it's not going to be him, and now is looking at alternative options, and Slot's very much the one. And since then, I kind of, you know, over the last sort of day or so, I've had a real look into his record. And again, you know, even though it's kind of interesting that he was going so under the radar, when you look at, you sort of compare what him and Amorim have done, sort of a lot of similar boxes ticked, you know, like I say, dominant style of football that can be scaled up, you know, won trophies at a club that financially is overachieved within its league. Probably one box he ticked ahead of Amorim, actually, for me, is what he's done in European competition. Amorim had a bit of a weakness there, a bit of a question mark over him. So had that as well. So, you know, a lot to like. That the question mark's always going to be there now, is that, you know, can he scale this up? Can he do it in a bigger and better league? You know, can he go up against a Pep Guardiola and win? And we don't know the answer to those questions. Liverpool don't know the answer to those questions. You can crunch all the data you want, but that is a very, very tough one to answer. Yeah. But I think in the current pool of the manager market as it is, the current pool, there was question marks over everyone, possibly barring Alonso, but even then it's very, very early for him. So with all those question marks there, you've got to say that, you know, Liverpool were always going to probably go for this type of coach. And of those people who are in that bracket, you know, Slot's CV very much stands up to an Amorim. It's in that sort of bracket. The big question now is, of course, like whether he can do that step up and can make that. But, you know, I mean, I'm impressed on the basis of what I've seen and read and the numbers behind him in terms of, as I say, within that bracket, he's absolutely one of the outstanding ones.
I suppose there's always going to be scepticism because of the jump from the Eredivisie to Premier League and Liverpool and what that means. And the other thing I did want to ask you about, a lot of people reference how he was previously at Alkmaar, wasn't he? And he left there to go to Feyenoord. I won't say mysterious circumstances, but there's a lot of question marks around it. Is that any cross in any box? Because people keep talking about checklists almost at the moment, don't they?
Yeah, I believe the issue with him being sacked there was effectively that Feyenoord had already kind of tapped him up to go there, and Alkmaar got sort of wind of that and weren't particularly happy about it and suggested that he was no longer focused on his job. You know, it was nothing to do with an underperformance of any sort. You know, I mean, the fact he had the season prior to that, I mean, he had them second on goal difference to Ajax, didn't he, after 25 games? Yeah. And he could have gone and won the title, which would have been an absolutely unbelievable achievement for a club of that size, you know, if the season hadn't been cancelled due to COVID. So, you know, the position he had them in there, it was unbelievable. And the sacking had nothing to do, as I say, with performance or clashes with anyone or anything like that. It was that he knew he was going to go to Feyenoord for the season after, and they weren't particularly happy about it. But I think, you know, there's no question marks in terms of, like I say, performance or what he was doing there. I thought he did it's one of a few sort of overachievements in his early careers. I mean, three different clubs he's been at and sort of pulled off something pretty miraculous or a big overachievement at each of them, which is, again, is exactly what Liverpool would have been looking for.
It is interesting because people reference that, and now everyone is now along the lines of, this is why Ed Woods, Hughes have chosen him in the search. And I've seen the theories. I've seen the one that Amorim plays a back three, slot plays a back four, so it's more suited to our style and those things. Do you put it down to one specific thing, or what are you sort of nudging towards while they've gone down this route?
Well, I do think that the style of play is a fit. The formation wise is a fit. The style of play, there's a continuity there from Jurgen Klopp, and I think very much it's always been Liverpool's thought that the whole idea of the structure, even though things slightly changed in the latter part of Klopp, and now we're going back to how things were, was the idea is, isn't it, if you have a sporting director, is that your club has a specific identity, a firm style of play. And then even if you do lose your manager, you've got a squad built for the next guy because you're going to stick to that style. So I think there is a real sort of continuity between Klopp and Slot in that regard, not just the formation. And I think, you know, he is a 4-2-3-1/4-3-3 kind of tweaks between those, as does Jurgen, by the way. You do see that double pivot a lot when McAllister drops in next to Endo. They've got that similarity, but also beyond that, it's the pressing, isn't it? And the aggression off the ball, very, very similar in that regard. So I've no doubt absolutely that was an attractive element. And the pressing stuff actually is kind of, more aggressive than Bayer Leverkusen, more aggressive than Sporting Lisbon. So much closer to Klopp really in that regard. So, you know, this seems like the continuity pick as much as anything else. And as I say, you ally that then to it's not just Hoke who plays in the same way, because there's a few other managers who do and don't do it and haven't been as successful. You know, Jesse Marsh is a pressing coach and, you know, people like that. But it was about allying, yes, all those elements of his games and the fact he would be a really good fit to the fact he's got these overachievements in his career at Canberra, at AZ Alkmaar, at Feyenoord as well, that, though, you know, you put all that together, plus everything else, which, you know, other elements I looked into in terms of personality as well, was, I think, a really important one. So you add that all up and you've got the manager who Liverpool think is the perfect fit.
I am intrigued that you said that, because I know in your deep dives that you've gone into sort of styles and statistics when you've done it with managers, sort of formations, how they set up. And you mentioned there about Slot with press. Probably the biggest thing, I mean, people might be concerned about is that chasm when Jurgen Klopp goes, that personality, that communication. I know you can never replace Jurgen Klopp directly, so I'm not suggesting that. How confident are you that Slot can almost step up to that mark or even come close from his personality?
Yeah, but a lot of Feyenoord fans talk really highly of him in terms of his charisma and his leadership, and say he's a really, you know, he's got a lot of those elements. And it's interesting, actually, a reporter I know texted me yesterday talking about Slot and said, you know, it's funny, of all the candidates, he said he'd interviewed him not too long ago and said of all the candidates that were in the mix, he seemed, of the ones he'd met, the closest in terms of personality and closest in terms of humour to Jurgen Klopp, which I thought was interesting. So, I mean, great for us as journalists, by the way. Yeah. So you might have good press conferences, and, you know, that was one of the things I was kind of worried about, actually, that you wouldn't get someone as charismatic. And I think, you know, you can say that that's an intangible and hard to measure how important that is. But I think personality is big. I think, you know, one of the things about Jurgen, he gives off this sort of father figure vibe, this really avuncular sort of sense. And that's a big part of getting buy-in, not just from players, but from fans as well. And I think, you know, one of your worries is that, you know, because he's not coming in as a big name and he's not Xabi Alonso, for example, you have to create that buy-in immediately from fans and players. And if you are a good person who's well-liked and you have that Klopp-like humour and Klopp-like personality and gregariousness, then it really does get people on board. And that is important when you go to a new manager, because, you know, it sort of takes some of the pressure off if people go immediately, well, I quite like this guy and he plays an aggressive style of football, that's going to get people immediately on board as well. So I think that's a real positive, really, that people who've met him speak so highly about how he is. His press conference is supposed to be great. So, yeah, looking forward to that. And I think it is a huge plus for him.
Yeah, it will be interesting to see how he steps into that, because, as you say, he's going to be judged quickly. That spotlight is going to be white hot upon him. And, I mean, from we talked about the stuff you've heard about the formations, the different bits. From the current squad, I know it's going to be difficult, but if you talk in terms of this 4-2-3-1, this pressing style, people always look to say, OK, you hope the player churn's minimal. Who can benefit from Slot and his style? Is the people that, or the players that you look at in our squad to think, yeah, I could see him almost doing that role in comparison to Feyenoord? Or do you think there's anyone even on the other side who could struggle potentially as well?
It's an interesting one, really. I mean, I can't claim to be a Feyenoord expert. So, you know, I've had a sort of a surface level look at the numbers and sort of watched little bits and tried to get as good an idea as I can in a short space of time. So I'm no absolute master in this. But, I mean, I think one of the ones I'm interested in, and this would have been true of any manager, to be honest, is what happens with trends. I'm absolutely fascinated by, you know, if Liverpool do go to a double pivot and that gives some protection in that regard, to whoever, you know, rather than leaving Trent as the sole deepest player, you know, if you go to a two there, does that work better for him? Is that something you look to?
Yeah.
Do Liverpool do something in holding midfield and get someone a little younger than Endo as well? A bit more of a destroyer in there. I'm kind of fascinated really to see how that works, or whether he does, you know, and he has played 4-3-3 a lot, and the fact that Liverpool have got so many who can operate in that eight area, whether he prefers to go with that and a sole holder instead, it's going to be an interesting one. And you know, Trent potentially inverting again, still and staying as that right back, that is an option for him. So I think it's a fascinating one really in terms of, you know, what this will mean for players. But I think because there's, you know, there's not necessarily a need for massive churn, is there, in terms of because of what we've spoken about with the style being similar and the formations not being a million miles apart. But I still think there's probably going to be a few interesting decisions that maybe get forced on the manager this summer anyway in terms of potential departures. So how he handles that and what Liverpool do to sort of address that is going to be fascinating, really.
Yeah, I am kind of intrigued by that and the whole process, because you've probably seen the links. People are now jumping and going, oh, if he comes, he's going to bring, I think it's Vifa he's pronounced there, a defensive midfielder with him. Is your expectation, though, that because of the way Liverpool have set up now with the likes of Woodfine now joining Hughes, Edwards overarching and controlling that, that very much slot is you coach, you manage, we'll sort the players? Do you think that is the clear sort of separation you're expecting?
Yeah, absolutely no doubt about it. I mean, Mats Wiefer would maybe come in if Liverpool think he's good enough. You know, that's as simple as that. There's no sort of chance of an Erik ten Hag situation developing whereby, you know, he's bringing in Anthony for 90 million and he turns out to be terrible, and or solely signing players from clubs he used to manage, which is just absolute madness. So, I think this is a clear move towards that model, isn't it? We knew that was going to happen once Edwards came back in and Klopp was leaving. I thought that was, you know, that's been made clear to us. So it's going to be a case of analytics very much driving the transfers. But, you know, the manager will have input as well, in the sense that, you know, in terms of the personality of the player, and we'll have to sign off that. And also kind of, this is what I need, you know, and there has to be an agreement on that in terms of this is, you know, if you can get me a player who does X, Y, and Z, that will be great for me. So he's going to have to come in and see what he needs and what areas need addressing. And also, as I say, I think his hand might be forced by a couple of departures this summer as well, which will be interesting. But yeah, that's very much going to be on the analytics teams and the recruitment staff to find the right pieces to fit into the team.
Will be, yeah, it will be interesting to see. And probably the one final question on the slot news, the announcement, whatever people want to call it, is that it's interesting that people have gone, Michael Edwards back, analytical approach, brilliant. Michael Edwards selects on a slot. Who's this? Why are we doing this type of thing? Like, what would you say to those people in terms of looking at it as a positive?
Yeah, I mean, the thing is as well, I would say about that is that, look, the last managerial appointment this group of people made was Jurgen Klopp, by the way. And I mean, he was a more obvious sort of slam dunk because the surface level stuff was there. Okay, beaten Bayern Munich to Bundesliga title. He'd reached a Champions League final, and he massively overachieved in doing that. So he was an obvious slam dunk, as I say. And obviously everybody loved his personality as well. He's really well known in that regard for, you know, his interviews and things like that. But I think, you know, there is no Jurgen Klopp there now.
Yeah.
You're trying to find almost the you know, with the way football is nowadays and the vast gaps as well between the leagues in terms of, you know, there's a limit in terms of what you can achieve while you're in the Dutch league. So Liverpool are almost trying to find the Klopp at Mainz nowadays in terms of how they're looking. And so, you know, and I would absolutely back them to be able to do that, as I say, because they knew that the case for Klopp was beyond all the surface level stuff we knew about. They looked deeper than that. And I just say, you know, I think there's been comparisons made with Ten Hag, which basically appear to be solely on the basis of both being Dutch and not having any hair, which is just laughable how people are obsessed on that. But I think Look, Liverpool have proved time and time again in recent years that they are better at identifying players who will fit their team than Manchester United by a million miles. And I, the same logic in my set, you know, to me, would apply to identifying managers as well. I mean, that will, is about to be tested. I'm not, you know, saying he's absolutely going to be a smash hit. We don't know. There's always a little level of uncertainty involved, but I would have much, you know, I'd back Liverpool to be good at identifying managers over some of the rivals, particularly who've made some disastrous appointments, disastrous signings in recent years. So, you know, I think, you know, it's tough to get as excited about it because there isn't that name that's like a Klopp out there, but let's just wait and see. And I think if everybody's got faith in Edwards, then they should probably imagine that this is going to be a success, or, you know, is not going to be absolutely disastrous anyway. And it's, yeah, it is something else to get our teeth into, so a new start. So yeah, it's going to be an interesting one. And I think people should just believe that this recruitment staff have not made many mistakes down the years. So I'd imagine they've got this one, you know, it's a decent effort, this one anyway, this appointment.
Yeah, we will have to see indeed. And I know they've almost kindly waited till you came back from your week's holiday to start it all going again. So we'll see what develops.
I did just ring them up. I rang Michael Edwards and just said, listen, I'm away this week. If you could just hold back a little while. And yeah, thankfully he obliged.
Just for the record, for anyone who's listening to this recording, he's being sarcastic there for 64 questions coming to the Discord ready for like asking for Monday, just to clarify. And
One final bit, actually, I think is worth sort of mentioning on this as well, is and I think is an element that comes into it, because there's no Klopp figure now, is kind of pull for signings is kind of an interesting one for me in terms of, I think Jurgen Klopp has been a massive part of that down the years in terms of bringing players to the club. I think Virgil van Dijk, Alexis McAllister all talked about how huge an influence we was. And obviously these were really, you know, peak level signings, really good signings. And I think, You worry a little bit with Slot that he's not going to quite have that. But I think the important element is you look across the leagues and look across the managers and you think there's probably not that many out there, actually. You have Klopp's pull now. You know, everyone's going to want to play for Guardiola, no doubt about that, and City offer brilliant wages as well. So they're always going to have that. But for Liverpool, I think it's kind of, you know, the pull is almost going to have to be now. Look how well structured we are. Look how the fact that we consistently compete. We do things in a smart way. We've got this manager who, you know, if you give him a few months and a few press conferences, maybe he really does get people on side as this gregarious character. Yeah. We'll have to see in that regard. But that's an interesting thing that's going to be slightly different, and maybe we'll have some slight influence on the summer. But you know, Liverpool aren't going to have that talismanic figure now as a selling point anymore. So they're going to have to use the club itself, the fact it overachieves regularly, the fact it does, you know, consistently competes, as I say, and wins trophies. I think, you know, they're going to have to do a better job of selling the club itself and the project, rather than just saying, look, it's Jurgen Klopp, come and play for him.
Yeah, it will be interesting. There's no Blackpool, there's no FaceTime anymore, weapons that they've had traditionally, so it will be interesting to see. And This sounds the strangest question to ask you at this time, because it almost feels like with everything that's gone in the last few days, people have forgot there's a Merseyside derby, you know, in like 6 or 7 hours. It almost seems to have like forgotten and drifted into the background. I know when we last talked, we said about the team lineup and you put yours out there, and Jota was in, he was in my lineup as well, but obviously the Jota news. So probably for this, the forward line with Jota not there, how do you think he might go tonight?
Yeah, so I went Salah, Nunez, Jota on the basis that I just wanted goal scorers on the pitch, people who try and put the ball in the back of the net, because these games are horrible and tend to end goalless. So, you know, try and do something about that, which is getting as many goals on the pitch as you can. And obviously losing Jota is such a huge blow in that regard. I mean, I felt quite confident about Liverpool's chances for this game with Jota involved, maybe a lot less so now, to be honest. But I think if you're making that swap, you have to bring someone else in. So obviously I had him on the left-hand side. And if Jurgen agrees with going with Nunez and Salah, you have to bring someone else on that left-hand side. I don't know how you can look beyond Cody Gakpo. I mean, I overlooked him on the basis that Jota is prolific whenever he gets chances. Yeah. But I think if you take him out of the equation, I think you've got to reward Cody Gakpo's form of late and put him in and use a confident player in a good moment. So for me, he'd be the pick.
Yeah, it will be interesting to see.
That also, by the way, gives you Diaz as an option to start then against West Ham on that massive pitch where he's so useful at bringing the ball up the pitch, away from home. So that almost works in two regards, really, in terms of, that's the selection for now and also for the game that's coming up. So, yeah, I think that's what I'd go with.
Yeah, it's crazy. It almost feels like the Merseyside Derby's being forgotten and everything that's going on.
I've got to remember to drive there, Lisa.
Yeah, actually, and outside all the stories. So all it leads me to do, ladies and gents, is say as ever, David, I know you are insanely busy and there's nothing quiet with the Reds. So thank you for giving up some time and insight. It is much appreciated.
No problem at all.
Good stuff. And ladies and gents, that was a Media Matters special for Anfield Index.
We hope you enjoyed listening to this Anfield Index show. Please be sure to subscribe to our channel so future podcasts find their way to your device automatically. There's nothing quite like fan engagement, and we'd love to know what you think of anything discussed on this show. The best way to get in touch is over on our free Discord community, where both podcasters and listeners debate the hottest LFC topics 24/7. Sign up free now at anfieldindex.com/Discord. You won't regret it. You can also follow us on Twitter at Anfield Index and find us on Facebook by searching for Anfield Index. Oh, and before you go, we'd love it if you could leave us a 5-star review on your favourite podcast app. It only takes a couple of seconds, and it means the world to the people who create these free shows. Sports Social Podcast Network.